In confusion and uncertainty, there emerges a guiding light, a beacon that cuts through the darkness. Welcome to Beacon of Truth with your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Beacon of Truth. I am your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, and you're listening on the EW10 Global Catholic Radio Network. Man, what a week it has been, I tell you. I'm still coming off the high of just a spiritual high, that is, from the amazing 3 weeks I had on this last overseas tour. I've been talking about it all week, and it's just a tremendous, tremendous blessing. You know, it just reaffirms, you know, the struggle to discern God's will. You know, and you all are familiar with the story now, you know, of the decision to leave my law enforcement career, to this and all the struggles and I went through, and with the love of my wife, was able to finally make the move. And God has just done more than I can even ask for or imagine in you know, in the past 11 years, or wait, no, 13 years. Yeah, the past 13 years. And he continues, right? God continues to bestow blessings through using me, his most unworthy servant. And, you know, again, just trying to be a finely tuned instrument in God's hands. It's been an awesome experience. And I'm glad to be able to share that with all of you as well. So again, take a look at the videos that I made. Like I said, because of the issue with no Wi-Fi or cell service and very sporadic electricity, I wasn't able to get many videos from Papua New Guinea. But they're there from each of the countries that I was in, just in Australia, Papua New Guinea, and the Philippines. Just go to my YouTube channel and take a look at those videos. And there's stuff there for mostly actually for youth and young adults, they'll find those talks to be edifying. One of them is actually new, a talk I developed for young people, kind of like high school, young adults, you know, courageous youth of the Bible. And I think they'll find that enjoyable. Well, today is Friday, and today is the feast of one of the apostles, St. James the Greater. You may say St. James the Greater. Remember, there were two James, right? There was James, the son of Zebedee, right, the brother of John, and he's called the Greater. That's who we're celebrating today. In fact, one of the churches I was in the Philippines was St. James the Greater, right? So today's their feast day, that parish in Alabang. In the Alabang suburb of Manila. So there's a feast day today. The other James is called James the Lesser, right? So James the Greater is called that because he was in that subgroup of apostles, Peter, James, and John. You know, Jesus went, for example, to raise a little girl from the dead, Peter, James, and John was there up the mount for the Transfiguration. On Mount Tabor, Peter, James, and John. In the Garden of Gethsemane on Holy Thursday night, Peter, James, and John, right? In the Acts of the Apostles, you know, Peter, James, and John, right? So those three are that kind of the power trio, you know? And today we celebrate the feast day of the Apostle James the Greater. And of course, would love for you to be part of the program today. Send us an email, beacon@ewtn.com. You know, and while I was away, I was still in touch with you. We're still doing shows, I really enjoy the interaction I have every day with the great crew that brings you this show every day. Who am I talking about? Mike McCall doing social media, Vanessa Sanchez screening your calls, and of course our producer, the one and only, drum roll please, Ace McKay.
But,
how you doing today?
Is that a drum roll or a rim shot? But I'm bumps, you know. I always love those
A drum
moments.
roll ending with the rim shot.
Yeah, when I playing in churches all these years, anytime the, pastor or priest tries to be funny or they are funny, like I try to be ready with the rim shot because, they're not expecting it. And then it only adds and then heightens, relaxes everyone in the service. You're like, all right, so you just got to make sure it's appropriate, don't do it at the wrong time.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Exactly right. Loving that. Loving that. Yeah, so it's we've been talking about this during the week, but and earlier this week, but I just love the response that we're getting to our Beacon of Truth playlist episodes.
Yeah.
And I was reminding the folks last weekend at the Guadalupe Radio 25th anniversary celebration, about the why we do that show. How it's now spun off into its own podcast, and kind of the feedback we've been getting, and like I said, it's a great way to introduce people, to this show who may not listen otherwise, and also make a connection with people too. Like the oh, I never thought about approaching this song. Let me go back and listen to it again, and as a way of drawing them into the deeper message of what we're of bringing people to deeper intimacy with the Lord. That's the message. And we do it, I think, in a very unique way through music, which is a vehicle that makes those connections with people. It brings people together, but also brings them possibly could bring them into deeper union with God. And there's something that just clicks with people when we do those episodes. So those are some of my favorite episodes as well.
Well, and I love it from the perspective of if we can change our filter so that everything we listen to, watch, talk about, like everything is through that lens of how it either is a representation of God living in our lives or Christ living in us, or it's an opportunity for us to talk to others about our faith. To me, that's the win because, again, the one thing that I feel like we can always, I don't know if it's agree, but the one thing we can always find a commonality in is in music. So there may be bands that you and I may like, and you like them more than I, but maybe there's an appreciation of them to the music legacy, or just the fact that it impacted you. Or if it's a song that I like, it's a song that has impacted us in some manner. And the same way goes for other people. If we're looking for ways to evangelize, just start talking about songs that have helped you recover through seasons in your life.
Yeah, exactly. And music has a way of doing that. We've talked about this before, how it really engages the senses. Like when you hear a certain song, you re like it just floods your mind with the memory. There's even you can remember the smell. You can if you were out on a date, you can remember like what you the meal you had. You can still remember the taste of the wine or whatever. And music has a way of stimulating memories. Trigger things in your heart, causes you to tear up. If you remember a loved one, that may have passed on, a parent or a sibling or a spouse or something like that, and that certain song just brings back, just floods your memories and your senses. And and it's kind of like an encounter with prayer. Sometimes when you're praying, you just get your heart just gets full. You get emotional as you think about the connectedness that you have with the Lord. And music is a way of drawing you deeper into that connection.
Yeah, and I recently saw a study that was talking about when you listen to music and you get the goosebumps, whether it's on your arm or up the back of your neck, that it also shows that you're more empathetic than most and you're nostalgic. And I love that about music is anytime even have you ever had that moment where you explain like a moment in a song to someone? Oh, have you heard? And then just in explaining the part of the song that you love, that you get a goosebump just by the explanation without even hearing it. And so I love when it shows some of the sides of us that sometimes we might think, well, I'm too empathetic. I feel my heavy's heart for everyone. That's not a bad thing. That's amazing. I mean, the opportunity to not only feel music in that vein, but also to be so in tune with someone else's spirit and soul and what they've been going through that you know how to pray for them when they maybe can't pray for themselves or don't want to pray for themselves, or just to even be a bendable ear. What do they say? Listen twice as long as you talk, and you become that person. And so I love that. And especially when you tie it into music, it's just another level to connect us to each other.
Yeah, exactly right. And we need more of that in this world today. There's so much confusion and brokenness, and there's war and, pain.
Yeah.
You know, thinking about, you know, one of the big news stories when I was gone was the floods in Texas. I mean, every country I went to, everybody was talking about the floods in Texas.
Yeah.
You know, so it wasn't just the United States. I mean, people, and they were praying, actually. In fact, when I was in, I think it was my last Sunday Mass in the Philippines, one of the intentions at Mass was for the victims of the floods in Texas. And I thought, wow, look at that. You know, how we're drawn together in prayer and unity for each other as a church, even though we're in different parts of the world. And music has a beautiful way of doing that.
Amen.
That's awesome. All right, my friends, we're talking about St. James the Greater, the apostle whose feast day we celebrate. Again, would love to hear from you today. Send us an email, beacon@ewtn.com.
Swampy.
It's almost just kind of funky, but swampy but funky at the same time.
Yeah.
I love that.
I've been feeling, and I haven't done it yet, but I've been feeling this inkling to want to learn the steel guitar. Like, there's just something about, you know, between the pedals and the string. Like, I want at least, if nothing else, to touch one and see if it seems like something that I could learn. Not that I need to add another thing to my plate, but I don't know. It just feels like, I don't know, sometimes you feel like you're in a steel guitar mood.
Yeah, that's so true. That's so true. You know, and, you know, sometimes if I'm in that mood, I'm listening to something else, I go, you know, I'm not feeling it today, and I'll just switch to it. To something else that'll fill that space, you know, in my mind and in my heart. Yeah.
So
sometimes
true.
You just need the steel guitar to do it.
That's right.
So awesome. We're talking in the last segment about moments in a song. You know, I remember on my walk the other day listening to Every Little Thing She Does Is Magic by The Police.
Yeah.
And the whole, from the beginning of the song, I was looking for that drum fill at the end. Before Stuart Copeland goes into the ride cymbal thing, that fill, I mean, everybody, right?
Oh yeah,
it looks forward to that part. I think and he's doing the ride cymbal thing there, and I just love that part of the song, and I just even that happens to me in the Psalms. Actually, there's some Psalms like you get to that Psalm, it's just like bam.
Yeah.
It just hits you, and I just got to stop and like, oh man, let me just ride this right now.
Yeah.
You know, let me just ride this wave of prayer. You know,
yeah.
So I just love that, and quite appropriate because the Psalms are, right, the book of sung praises.
Yeah,
you know, so I think that's quite appropriate. That's awesome.
Amen.
Love that. All right, my friends, I'm Deacon Harold Burke Simmons. You're listening to Beacon of Truth, and today on this Friday, we're celebrating the feast of Saint James the Greater, part of that power trio of apostles, Peter, James, and John, one of the sons of Zebedee. And of course, we'd love to hear from you today. Send us an email, beacon@ewtn.com.
Don't forget the Holy Rosary, something we've been doing together for over 30 years. But if you're new to EWTN Radio, you can check it out each and every weekday with Mother Angelica. And then in the evenings, you can check it out with Father Benedict Groeschel. If you want to know more, go to EWTN.com or just simply keep listening for your chance to share that in your faith today.
My friends, it is now time for the Soulful Psalms segment of Beacon of Truth. This is the part of the show where we take one of the Psalms from the wisdom literature of the Old Testament, the Book of Sung Praises, from the Psalms that we hear in each and every Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, and we connect that Psalm to your everyday lived experience. Well, today we're continuing our look at Psalm 40. Psalm 40 is in book 1 of the Psalms, Psalms 1 to 41. All of the Psalms attributed to King David. And today we're going to continue our look at Psalm 40, verses starting at verse 13. So the prescript or superscript of the psalm is very simple. It's the entire first verse. It just says, Lemenzeach HaDavid Mizmor, for the choir master of David, a psalm. Very simple. And I love the way David starts off this psalm. You know, we looked at this already, but I always love to kind of refresh or drawing us into the psalm by just going over kind of that the verse or two. So I love this. David says, I waited for the Lord, and he stooped down to me. He heard my cry. Right? That's how David starts off. Love that. Again, first of all, if you're like me, you know, I can sometimes be impatient, right? Especially when it comes to traffic. That's just still that East Coast in me, you know, where you're sitting at the light and the light turns green and the person's in front of you is on the phone and they don't see the light turn green. You honk, come on, you know, you honk the horn and kind of get moving, you know. And so one of the things that I often have to learn is to be patient, you know. And I love this, how David said, I waited for the Lord. Because sometimes we just have to wait for the Lord to act. We're anxious, you know, we're nervous, we're scared, we're fearful, and we have to have confidence in the Lord. But sometimes that confidence involves waiting. Why? Because God works in his time, and God's timing is always perfect. It's not our time. And he said, and he stooped down to me. I love that. That image that I get there is like when you're a parent and your child needs help, and you stoop down to them. You reach out to them, either to pick them up, like when they've had their arms out, and you just reach down and reach down and scoop them to pick them up. Or if they fall, you know, you scoop down to pick them up. You come to their help. You come to their aid and assistance. And David kind of feels like that. He kind of feels like a child, and God has reached down to him. Now, of course, we know for us as people of faith, that's the incarnation, where God went to the Blessed Virgin Mary, and through the power of the Holy Spirit, he overshadowed her, episkiazo in Greek, or shekinah in Hebrew, you know, the glory presence of God overshadowing the Ark of the Covenant in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit overshadowing the Blessed Virgin Mary in the New Testament, and God stooped down to us. He entered into our human existence. He entered into our reality, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. He literally came down to us. He stooped down to us to bring us help and love and assistance through the power and the grace of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But we're diving in at verse 13. Again, David now is drawing out, you know, why he needs the assistance. So he says in verse 13, Psalm 40, for I am beset with evils, too many to be counted. Right? Again, I love how human and how real David is. He's just telling it like it is. Sometimes we do feel like that. You know, we're beset with evils. We have all this stuff going on in our life. You know, it's a kind of a heaviness or a weight that's going on. Stress at work, stress with the kids. Either if you have young kids, and you may have, you know, like my wife and I, we had four kids that were 5 years old and under. You know, four kids, five and under. Yeah, come on. That's definitely stressful. But it's beautiful. But it could be stressful. You know, maybe some tension going on in your marriage, tension with a sibling, you know, whatever it may be. You know, sometimes we feel the heaviness of our life, just the heaviness of everyday existence. And it feels, it's not evil, but it feels like there's an evil. Or if you're going through a cancer, right, through an illness, it may feel like this evil is happening to you. Or if you're just you know, working in pro-life, you know, and every day you have people just attacking you. And we feel the heaviness and the burden of our everyday lived experience. David doesn't shy away from it. He goes, my iniquities have overtaken me till I can see no more. Right. So we have this parallelism here where David is talking about the evils. They have overtaken me, almost like a wave that hits you from behind. You just bam, it just hits you. You get carried away by that wave. And sometimes that happens. We get lost in the heaviness of and the burden of what's happening in our life. And David even describes it as a physical manifestation, you know, till I can see no more. You know, he's so overwhelmed by what's going on that he can't see straight. know, sometimes we're in pain, physical pain or mental pain or emotional pain. And sometimes that pain has a physical manifestation. We have upset stomach, blurred vision. Sometimes there's a physical, like muscle pain. We actually feel our bodies responding to what's going on in our life at that moment. And so the heaviness can be also opportunities for a powerful encounter with the Lord in the midst of that anguish and pain. He said, "They're more than the hairs of my head, and my heart is sinking." Again, drawing us deeper with this parallelism of David here, talking about how he's feeling during this time of moments of anxiety. And he continues at verse 14. "Be pleased, O Lord, to rescue me. Lord, make haste to help me." So there's a repetition here from example Psalm 70 and Psalm 51, where David is asking for the assistance of God and make haste to come and help him. So God, look at me in the midst of my pain. Look at me in my affliction and come to my help. Come to my assistance. Don't leave me here in my moment of pain. Come to be with me, Lord. Enter into that space in my heart. I'm inviting you in, into my life, in that moment of pain. Now I'm uniting myself and my pain to your suffering on the cross. I'm entering into that space. And just as you, Psalm 31, "Into your hands I commend my spirit." Lord, I'm giving my pain, my spirit, over to you. I'm asking you to be with me in this moment so that I don't have to face this pain alone. That I know that you're here, that you're with me, that you're going to lead me and guide me through this difficult time.
Yeah, it was something I wrote down this week that I saw that lines up very much with this psalm is it's not what we say that determines our life, but what we whisper to ourselves that has the greatest power. And I love that from the mindset of that if we can give those whispers to God and let Him take over that, it helps to lower those anxious moments. It helps to remove us from things that, we've allowed ourselves, well, I just need to be able to change this, or I need to be able to control this situation. When 9 times out of 10, sometimes 10 times out of 10, it is completely out of our control, and all we can do is give it to God. So if we can start there sooner, I feel like a lot of that, extra added anxiety that we are responsible for. You want to talk about the thing you can control? The thing you can control is relinquishing those thoughts and giving them to God.
Yeah, exactly right. And that involves surrender.
Yeah.
And sometimes we don't want to do that. Sometimes we want to have control, like you said, over, and we can't.
Yeah.
And there's a feeling of helplessness there. And that's what I mean about entering into the cross. Jesus, he cries out, Psalm 22, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Of course, God has never forsaken him, but it feels in his human nature, in his humanity, he feels that heaviness. He
Yeah.
feels that God is not there. He feels, and we've all felt that, but having the confidence that knowing that God is there, and that God does understand, because why does he understand? He went through it himself. He
Yeah.
went through it himself, and he understands that. And so we have to have the confidence of knowing that God at some point will come in to that pain, will come in, will enter into that hard space and set us free to be able to love. And sometimes, if you, especially if you're going through like a very serious illness that may be terminal, that release and that pain may come from the healing of death. Where God, because all of us are going to die, right? So we all of us are going to be entering, God willing, entering that space of being face to face with God
Yeah.
and giving an account for our life and hopefully spending eternity with Him.
Amen.
So ultimately, that's where all the pain is leading. It's leading to the ultimate joy of being with God forever in heaven.
Yep, so true.
Yeah, love that. All right, my friends, we're talking about St. James the Greater on his feast day today. It is Friday of this incredible and beautiful week that the Lord has given to each and every one of us. And so would love to hear from you. We're talking about St. James the Greater. Send us an email today, my friends, beacon@ewtn.com.
More than one way to be swampy.
That's right. So you keep the swamp theme going today. I love that. And a typical blues progression there.
Yep.
Really obvious. Love that. And the harmonica. Harmonicas don't get the props.
It does not.
It should get. You know, I love that, you know, especially when, like, you hear, like, feel like Stevie Wonder, you hear the old songs by him or other
things
on harmonica. You know, it's just something that just gets you going.
Yeah, yeah. I remember when...
you play?
I can dabble. Like, I can play Love Me Do by the Beatles, and I can play the intro to Piano Man by Billy Joel, because they're both in C, and so I have a C harmonica. It was actually kind of a cool moment. My dad had real bad reflux about 6 or 7 years ago, and we were trying to find ways to strengthen his vocal cords, and he's not a singer, not a, you know, talker, unless you get him going. But we found out that harmonica, because you're breathing in and out with a lot of motion and movement, was actually helping to reduce his reflux. So again, music is a healer. So he's not proficient in harmonica. He only did it till he felt better, and then he stopped. But every once in a while, he likes to remind me that he still has that harmonica. It's like, come on, Dad, join the band.
I like that. Ah, all right, cool. Oh man, I just love music, man. It's just the greatest thing ever.
Agreed.
Awesome. I'm Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, listening to Beacon of Truth, and today we're celebrating the feast of the Apostle Saint James the Greater. One of the power trios of apostles, Peter, James, and John. And as we celebrate them, you know, and one of the ways you can celebrate the apostles is by going on pilgrimage. You know, there's many incredible opportunities. You know, I spoke about it earlier this week, but we have the pilgrimages posted for next year, 2026. And would love for you to join us. We're going to be going to some amazing places. We're going to in May, we're going to Guadalupe, Mexico, Our Lady of Guadalupe. We're going to go to Ireland in June of next year to visit Catholic Ireland. And then we're going to be going to Japan in September, and then to Italy, Eucharistic Miracles Pilgrimage in October. So all the information, just go to my website, deaconharold.com, and you scroll down. You see a huge banner that says Harvest Journeys. Click on that. You can download the flyer with all the information, pricing, dates, everything you need to join us on the pilgrimage next year. Love, love, love to have you with us. It's going to be incredible. But today, we'd love to hear from you. Send us an email. Talk about James the Greater, the Apostle. Beacon at EWTN.com.
Well, as we continue to explore the rites of the Eastern Catholic Church, we get to do that for you on a regular weekend basis. Sunday morning, 11:30 Eastern. Check out EWTN Radio for Light of the East Radio. Of course, Father Thomas bringing us through those studies, giving us a better understanding. And then, of course, you can always take it with you on demand through Podcast Central. But check it out Sunday mornings, 11:30 Eastern, Light of the East, right here on EWTN Radio.
All right, my friends. We're celebrating the feast of James the Greater today, the Apostle. And again, we'd love to hear from you. Send us an email, beacon@ewtn.com. So as I mentioned, James was a part of the inner circle of Jesus' 12 apostles. And remember, what is Jesus doing in setting things up this way? So we see in the Old Testament, there was Moses, right? So Moses was, you know, kind of the Christ-like figure, for example, leading the people through the Red Sea. You know, he split through God's assistance. He split the Red Sea open, and they walked through the other side. So Moses was the one who led them from slavery to Egypt to freedom as they headed toward the Promised Land through the desert. And Jesus, in a sense, is the new Moses, right? So he's the one, through his death on the cross and through baptism, leading us through the waters of baptism from death to sin and slavery to sin to freedom in eternal life in heaven. Because, right, so he leads us through a baptism. He leads us through those waters of baptism into new life with him. right? And then Moses, of course, had Aaron, right, who was ordained as the high priest, you know. And so we have the parallel would be Peter. So Jesus chose Peter. Matthew 16, 18, gave him the keys as the prime minister. We see this in Isaiah 22, 22, and in other places as well, where, you know, when the king was gone, the prime minister was given the keys and he was in charge until the king returns, right? And that's Peter. And of course, that's Pope Leo today, our Holy Father. And then there was also Aaron, and then it was high priest, and then Nadab and Abihu in the Old Testament. So the three of them, right? That kind of power trio in the Old Testament, Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu. And then we see the parallel, of course, in the New Testament, Peter, James, and John. And then, you know, we see Moses also choosing 12, representing the 12 tribes of Israel, right? The sons of Jacob, you know. And so what Manasseh, Reuben, Simeon, Judah, Dan, Benjamin, Asher, Zebulun, Ephraim, Issachar, Naphtali, and Gad, right? So the 12 tribes of Israel. And then we have the 12 apostles, right? Peter, Andrew, James, who we're celebrating today, John, brother, Philip, Bartholomew, Thomas, Matthew, James, right? James Lesser, Simon, Jude, and of course Judas, and then of course replaced by Matthias in Acts of the Apostles. And then we also have even the 70 that were in the Old Testament, and 70 plus if you include Nadab and Abihu, that's 72. And the parallel, of course, Jesus in the New Testament calling the 72 that were sent out, you know, to prepare his way. Before he went to a town, they went out preaching and healing and preparing the way for Jesus. So we have, you know, these beautiful parallels. Again, Jesus said, "I've not come to abolish the law and the prophets, but to fulfill them." And so we see a wonderful fulfillment of the Old Testament. Jesus keeping that same structure, but fulfilling it through his ministry of the church and the apostles. And one of those apostles, again, we're celebrating today, James the Greater. So again, that inner circle, Peter, James, and John. And so James was also among the first four apostles called by Jesus to follow him, right? So James is an important figure in the life of the church. So James, Jesus named James and John the sons of thunder, right? So maybe it was to indicate their impulsiveness. Remember, you know, they go to Jesus. You know, Jesus, we come into your kingdom. Give us a place at your side. You know, one at your right, the other one at your left. And Jesus says, "Not my place to give out, you know, seats in the kingdom. That's up to my Father." And the other apostles found out about it. They got mad at them for trying to, you know, trying to maneuver their way, you know, into these high places of Jesus. Remember, they thought Jesus was going to bring a military. Kingdom, right? They thought Jesus was going to be the leader to overthrow the rule of the Romans and restore Israel to its dominance and grace, you know, independent from Roman rule. You know, that's what they thought. So they said, okay, you know, I'm going to position myself here to get a good spot. So when Jesus comes into the kingdom, you know, I can, you know, they're thinking very earthly. And, you know, but Jesus had to help them to see. Through his death and resurrection, and through the Holy Spirit upon them at Pentecost, that his message was not one of authority, power, and control in an earthly sense, but they were called to truly be those leaders, yes, but not leaders of a military coup, but the leaders of the church, you know, that bring people through the message of salvation and the message of Jesus and the gospel to bring people to life in Christ. You know, as Asa and I were talking about before, to bring them healing, you know, and just as he brought, you know, David was in Psalm 4, you know, he brings that healing into our life as well through the ministry of the church. And one of the pillars of that early church was, of course, the apostles, and one of super apostles. And in fact, I think Paul calls them the super apostles, you know, talking about Peter, James, and John, you know, so Jesus called them the sons of thunder. It may be because of and their pulses, you know, and these were also the guys. Remember, they want to refuse hospitality to the Samaritan villagers. In fact, James and John said that Jesus called down fire from heaven on them, because remember, the Samaritans were kind of the they were kind of somewhat related to the Jews, but obviously there was great disdain between the Jews and the Samaritans because of their different beliefs. And salvation comes to the Jews, not to the Samaritans, although Jesus out to the Samaritans. A woman at the well, for example, was Samaritan. Of course, one of his greatest parables ever was the Good Samaritan, right? So where Jesus teaches us to reach out to those, no matter who they are, that we are to see his presence in every single person, even those that we're supposed to have disdain for, even though those who may be hateful toward us, we respond with animosity and hatred and vitriol, with love, right? With the love and the heart of Christ, right? That's the lesson that he wanted the apostles to learn, and that lesson that he still wants all of us to learn today. And as I mentioned, he asked them for the two places that is in his kingdom when Jesus comes into the kingdom. Again, them thinking he was bringing an earthly kingdom. He goes, and Jesus says to them, he goes, "You don't know what you're asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I'm able to drink?" And of course, it's yeah. Again, not thinking of what was coming, right? The cup of crucifixion, the cup of suffering, right? And Jesus says, "Oh yeah, you are." He goes, "Yeah." They're again very being very impulsive. Jesus was referring to a suffering of death, but they answered, not really having an understanding. Yeah, we could do it. Of course, we could drink the cup. Not knowing what that would entail. But when that time comes, remember, they're nowhere in sight, right? James is nowhere in sight. The only apostle at the cross was John. And so the other apostles abandoned the Lord in his hour of need. So yeah, we're able, but when the time comes, they weren't. James wasn't able. But all of that changed with the suffering, death, and resurrection of Jesus. James would have been in that upper room in John chapter 20 when Jesus appeared on the evening of the resurrection on Easter night. And he appeared to those apostles, gave them what? The mission to continue his work. James would have been one of the ones that Christ breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven them. Whose sins you retain are retained." Jesus gave specific and direct authority to forgive sins in his name to those first apostles, and James would have been among them. So James would have been present when the Holy Spirit, when Jesus breathed the Holy Spirit into them, and they were able to put aside their fears and boldly proclaim the gospel. In fact, about 44 AD, about a little over 10 years after Jesus was died, the Acts Apostle tells us that King Herod, Agrippa the First, captured certain members of the church. Of course, there was a persecution for many, many years in the early church. And so when King Herod Agrippa the First captured and imprisoned members of the church, one of them was James, who was the first of the 12 apostles to suffer martyrdom, and the only one whose death is recorded in the New Testament. Now, remember, the deacon Stephen was the first martyr of the church, right? He was the first one to die for faith and belief in Jesus Christ. That's recorded in Acts of the Apostles. But James was the first apostle to die for the faith. We know all the apostles except for John were martyred for their faith. Many suffered the same death as Jesus by crucifixion. Many were tortured to death or beheaded. And we know that one of those, again, the first apostle to die was James the Greater, who we celebrate today. That's why if you go to Mass, you'll see the priests and the deacons wearing red, right? Because the red vestments represent the blood that was shed for Christ. So we see that also on Good Friday. We see that also the fire is also the fire of the Holy Spirit. We wear red on Pentecost Sunday, right? The red represents the fire of the Holy Spirit. And we also wear red. We celebrate martyrs, right? Those who died for their faith. They're, again, red reminding us of the blood that was shed for their faith, which is important because, you know, that's and today you look around and a number of countries on the continent of Africa and in India and in Japan, not Japan, China and other places, people are still dying for their faith in Jesus Christ. They're dying rather than deny Jesus, right? So we still have martyrdom going on in the church today. Yeah, even in our modern, you know, 21st century, we can't seem to get that together and find a way to live peacefully together. And that's why we, following the example of James and the other apostles, have to help guide people into the way of peace. As, you know, in that beautiful Benedictus prayer of Zechariah, you know, at the baptism of John, he says, the dawn from on high will break upon us to shine on those who dwell in darkness and the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the way of peace. And Jesus also says, and the Beatitudes on the Sermon on the Mount, you know, blessed are the peacemakers, right? So, and that peace starts with peace within ourselves. You know, we have to find peace within ourselves first, and then we can't bring that peace to others unless we first have it within ourselves. And James, of course, found that peace in the Holy Spirit at Pentecost and willingly suffered and died for his faith in Jesus Christ. And so that's very important for us today. Now, James is often called the greater to distinguish him from the other James, right, who's the son of Alphaeus. So tradition says that this James went on as a missionary to Spain, and that after his death, he was buried in Spain in the town of Compostela. So if you ever have done, you know, you've done the way, you know, it ends with the church at the church of St. James in Spain at Compostela, you know. So and they would have that huge that huge sensor, the huge thurible, you know, that it takes like four or five people to get it going. It's swinging back and forth, and incense is pouring into the church, you know. That's the end of the Camino. So if you ever done the Camino, it ends at the church of St. James, again, who's buried in Compostela in Spain. So the pilgrimage to his grave is also known as the Way of St. James or the Camino de Santiago, which is very, very popular. In fact, there are even pilgrimages that take people there and do maybe not all of the Camino, because it's several hundred kilometers. And it takes about a month. If you do the whole thing, probably takes a month or more to walk the entire Camino. But many people have done parts of it as well. Which makes sense. Why? St. James, therefore, is the patron saint of pilgrimage, right? Which makes a ton of sense. So again, we're talking about St. James the Greater on his feast day today. Would love to have you join. Send us an email today, beacon@ewtn.com. You know, so a great way for us to participate in this feast today is not just go, of course, go to Holy Sacrifice and the Mass, right? We can hear about St. James in the readings, but also remember that by our baptism, we received the charism of priest, prophet, and king. You know, we're not called to be apostles, you know, like the bishops, our successors of the apostles, all the bishops of the church today. But we receive the charism of the Holy Spirit to do what the apostles did, to proclaim the good news of Christ, right? To go out and to live our faith with passion and conviction. You know, not necessarily to die for our faith as happening in different parts of the world and as St. James did, but to die to those things that separate us from God's love, so we can enter into that mysterious encounter of prayer. You know, we can live deeply within the heart of Christ. You know, and that's where the apostles are leading us. And they gave that message even if it cost them their life. So they went from being fearful, like literally running away when Jesus needed them to most, to being fearless in proclaiming the gospel. And you know, that's what we can ask St. James for through his intercession, to not be afraid to speak the truth in love. You know, I myself have received backlash from some people who didn't like what I have to say. You know, but that doesn't stop me from preaching the gospel. Obviously, I don't preach in order to turn people away. My whole goal is to help people encounter Christ in a deep, intimate, personal way through by preaching the truth in love. And sometimes that message is not well received. Most of the time, obviously it is, but sometimes, you know, I'm not afraid to preach, you know, to those people who aren't in the choir, you know, those people who are playing dissonant chords in their life and you know, and don't want to hear harmony, you know, and I'm not afraid to preach on quote unquote difficult issues, you know, such as race and gender and marriage and life issues and those kinds of things, you know, to bring the message of the gospel to people, even if this may be difficult to hear, because the truth comes from hearing. Right? So people, they won't know the truth unless they hear the truth spoken in love, but boldly and fearlessly, just as James did.
Yeah, and we don't have to be on a stage like Deacon Harold to realize that at any and all times we are representative of our thoughts, feelings, faith, all of that. So the things that come out of our mouth as a filter, or out of our actions as a filter of who we are in Christ, is already a representation of evangelism. It's a representation of what we believe and the truths that go with that. But then we don't necessarily have to give a 3-point sermon of any kind to be able to get our point across. It could just be in the moment of your actions, your thoughts, your empathies, your prayers. You know, that's why I always say, you know someone's heart when they're praying out loud, because when everyone's supposed to have, you know, their eyes closed and head bowed, like their heart is just coming out on what not only they believe, but what they've seen God work in their lives or in the world that others just haven't experienced. And that's as much of your evangelistic influence into their lives as anything that Deacon Harold would be doing, or any priest, you know, from a pulpit.
Yeah, that's so true. And I love that. That the way that we can often preach most effectively is by the witness of our lives.
Yeah.
You know, we can, and that's so true, because you can preach, but if they don't see your life matching your preaching, you know, then you don't have any credibility.
Yep.
You know, and James and the other apostles showed this by giving their lives. That was the way they witnessed, and that's what the word martyr means. It means witness. So sometimes we have that dry martyrdom, not the wet martyrdom of dying and shedding our blood,
Right.
but the martyrdom of ridicule. But again, I always, when people walk away from me, they're upset about a homily, or you know, I prick their conscience wants to turn back toward the Lord, and they're so comfortable in their sin they don't want to turn back. But I say something that pricks their conscience and starts, you know, as painful as that turn, like the prodigal son, as painful as that turn back to the father might be, you know, maybe that little word that I gave, that witness that I gave, starts them on that journey that's painful.
Yeah.
I don't regret that, because you know, my goal with the person standing in front of me is, how do I want get them to listen to more of what I have to say? And so our witness has to match our words, or else our words have no credibility. You know, if I talk to people about the rosary, you know, and some of the most popular shows that we do is that series called Our Life in Christ, where I'm meditating, you know, we're offering meditations on the mysteries of the rosary. But if I don't pray the rosary myself, then when I'm talking about it, I have no power. There's no authority. There's no meaning behind what I'm saying. I'm just spewing out words.
Yeah. Well, and it's supposed to sting, right? I mean, if there's something that
Yeah.
we're not doing or something that we are doing, it's supposed to sting. So you can be mad at the messenger and go, I'm never listening to Deacon Harold again. That's fine. But again, the seed has been planted and the wrestling is going to be there, so that at some point you will hone back to the fact that it was in that moment that Deacon Harold said something, or Ace said something in a moment that you needed to hear. You just didn't know you needed to hear it yet. And I'm, so, or Deacon and I both, speaking from experience, that someone said something that stung, and it's like, yep. And it's, again, it's not always on the sinful side. It's in the thing that you're not doing, just because God maybe hasn't revealed it yet, or he's maybe whispered, but you didn't know that that was him. So, again, it's supposed to sting.
Yeah, that's it. All right. Well, great show today. And next time we're going to talk about blaming God for hardships in life. Wow, that's going to be an awesome episode. Now, remember, you can stream today's show by visiting Podcast Central at ew10.com/radio. And until we're together again, my friends, may Almighty God bless you, keep you, and protect you as you have a great weekend. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.